Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're grateful, glad to have you today. Wow, we serve an awesome God, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to tell you something I just learned myself just now, that this young lady sitting up here on the front died. And she was in India, her and her husband's from India, is that right?
South Africa.
And she died, and three Christians come and prayed over her, and God raised her from the dead. Wow, praise the Lord. Boy, you got to watch out for if you turn them Christians loose, man. You never know what some Christians can do. All you need just, what did the master say, just two or three of us?
Yeah.
Just two or three of us agree about anything we ask him for, he will do whatever. And this young lady sits here among us today after being dead, and the Lord raised her from the dead because of some of his children prayed over her. So, you know, don't ever miss an opportunity to pray. Because you never know, if they hadn't prayed for her, she'd still be dead. And so, you were lost at the time too. You didn't even know Jesus, see, so well, that would even be worse, wouldn't it? Just think, this lady would have been in hell. But because some Christians prayed over her and God raised her from the dead and gave her another chance, they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now they're believers in Jesus, so praise the Lord. Wow. Don't we love to give God the glory and praise for all the things he does? I mean, wow. It's so awesome to serve a God that does great and wonderful things. There's nothing hard for our master. Absolutely nothing. So praise the Lord. And I'm so grateful that we know him. I've got a couple of testimonies today. I'm going to start out with Peggy. Peggy, she's got a testimony, and we want her to come up here and tell us what in the world has happened to you. Something, praise the Lord. Hold it close to your mouth so we can hear it.
Well, I believe the King is coming real soon.
Amen.
And I've got a neighbor. She's 11 years old, and everybody knows I milk goats, and this little girl wanted to learn how to milk goats. So she's been coming over, and a friend of mine called and asked me, did I have anybody to take care of my goats when the rapture comes? And I said, well, no, I can't find anybody because I want everybody to go up when I go up.
Amen.
And so she came over to milk, and I was telling her what this friend of mine had said. I said, I need to find somebody that will tend to my goats when the rapture comes. And she raised her hand and she said, I will. And I said, oh, no, I want you and your mom and dad to go up with me. And so she said, well, I want to go too. Where are you going? And so I told her we had been kind of talking about heaven. And I told her, and she said, well, I want to go. So I told her how. And she didn't want to do it right then, but because she was fixing to milk, and so I sent her home some tracts, and her mom read the tracts, and then she came back to milk with me the next day, and she said, Mom and I read all the tracts, and so then we went to a volleyball game, and we talked about all of this all the way home, and so when I let her out, that was Tuesday night, she told her mother she wanted to make sure she wanted to go to heaven, and so her mother led her to the Lord right
Amen.
There.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
She came and gave me the testimony the next day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't we love those kind of testimonies? Amen. When people get saved, I'm telling you, you know, that's a good way to break the ice. You know, do you want to go to heaven? I mean, almost anybody does, you know. And when you ask them, well, then, you know, what is it that's going to get you there? And listen to so many of them say, well, I've been a good guy, you know, I've not been too bad, I've not done everything right, but maybe my good will outweigh my bad. Have you ever heard people talk like that? But ain't none of that going to get them to heaven, is it? They got to do the same thing that little girl did. They got to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I mean, you know, if there's anything you want to do in these last days, and we don't know how many days we got left, you know, it may only be a few, it may be 10 years, we may be a year. We don't know. We just know that he is coming. one day. And of course, you know, none of us know when he may come for us in death. You know, that could happen to anybody at any time. And you're not going to have time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior if your heart stops. You know, if your heart stops, you're just, each one of us is just one heartbeat away from eternity. Are we not? Wow, one heartbeat. And I want to make sure that I don't even have to, that's not something that I have to even be concerned about. You know, I know that I know that I know that I've made Jesus Lord of my life when I was 11 year old. And I've been serving the Lord ever since. So I'm a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian. Had the privilege to walk in some of the gifts of the Spirit, or nearly all of them at one time or another. And by the way, we're going to talk about those today. But now then, I got another testimony, and Brother Jack's got something to happen to him he wants to tell us about. Come up here, Jack, and tell us what you want to say. I love testimonies, don't you?
Amen. 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 This has been a great week for me in a lot of ways. So I had been to visit my mother, who lives in Commerce, and I was coming down 380. And I usually drive right at 60 miles an hour. Occasionally, there will be a 55 somewhere. But if it goes higher than that, it actually speed limit's 70 and 75 coming down 380 in that part of the country. But I drive 60. So not in a hurry. And I used to drive 3 miles an hour over whatever it was. And so anyway, I'm just all relaxed there listening to Thurman CDs. I usually do that when I drive. And so I came down through there and got to Princeton. And I know that, you know, in Princeton it slows down. So I took my foot off the gas and whatnot. And I got down into Princeton and the man with the lights pulled me over. So I knew what he wanted. He wanted my driver's license and insurance. So he came up the door and I just handed it to him. So he went back and he wrote for a long time.
Wow.
And he said, "Do you know why I stopped you?" I said, "Well, no, I really don't." He said, "Well, I clocked you going 52 back there in that school zone." And I thought, "Oh, that's right. There's a big school right there." He said, "Mr. Butler, how long has it been since you had a speeding ticket?" I said, "Well, you know what? It's been a long, long time. I can't remember when I had the last one." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, this is speeding about 17 miles an hour over in a school zone. Now, I don't know what that's cost of that would be. Say $300-$500, something big like that." He said, "It turns out your birthday is the same as mine." Praise the Lord. So that wasn't by chance. That couldn't happen by chance.
No.
So anyway, that was wonderful. And another wonderful thing that happened is I've been to Houston on Friday and came back late last night and talked to my daughter on the phone for a long time. And she and her husband are moving back to Texas. Now, the reason I know that is because we said the prayer of agreement. And something that's been very valuable to me is what I learned from Jeff, that hope is a confident expectation that a thing will happen. But we got to have more than hope. We've got to have faith, and faith is the substance. So that means you've got to have the hope, and then you've got to put an action of substance, something you can touch, feel, see, hear, with that hope.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm doing here. I'm telling you, they're coming.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So anyway, that's.
And the policeman didn't give you a ticket.
Gave me a warning.
Oh, gave you a warning.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I meant to say that.
Yeah. We couldn't
left
let you
all hanging there.
Yeah, we couldn't let you get away without
right.
telling us.
Oh yeah, and another thing, I have identified what I think is going to be a huge opportunity in Houston. So I'll be doing a lot of traveling in the next 6 months, year.
Praise the Lord. Right. Be talking to people about Jesus down there.
That's right.
Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right. Oh, and a gentleman that used to come to our church named Eddie Young. Anybody remember Brother Eddie? He went home to be with Jesus. He's 89 years old. They had his funeral Friday, I guess. I was going to go. And then it's amazing how when you're led by the Spirit of God, you know, with these wonderful spirits that we're talking about, how they work. I told Jeff I'd go to the funeral with him. And then he called me at 10 o'clock and says, and it's for funerals in Louisville at 11.
He said, Pastor, are you ready? And I said, no, I completely forgot it. I said, ain't no way I can get ready and everything and be out there. I said, so just you and Dave go without me. And so I stayed at home. Well, about 30 minutes later, after they left, I had called the day before to order propane for all of our propane tanks at all of our locations. And I'd called and spent 30 minutes or an hour on the phone with a lady, giving her all these locations and these tanks and that I wanted to have filled. And I said, when will you be able to fill them? And she says, probably sometime between Monday and Friday of next week. I said, oh my goodness. I said, if you possibly could, make sure that you try to get it done on Monday or Tuesday, because I said, Wednesday I'm going to Baltimore to preach and I'm going to be out of town the rest of the week. And she said, well, I'm not sure we can do that, but I'll put down here, be sure and call before we come. Well, after Jeff drove off about 30 minutes later, the guy called and said, I'm going to be out there in 30 minutes today, right now, on Friday. And I thought, my goodness, if I'd have went with him, there was nobody knew where those tanks were but me, you know, nobody. And so I thought, well, okay, come on. I'll be waiting for you. He said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. And an hour later, he showed up. So I guess, you know, we're not always good at time, I guess. But anyway, when I got there, I told him, I said, okay, good. I said, we'll just run right. Since we're on this road, let's just run right on up here and fill this one at this house up here first, and then we'll start with the others. He said, I have a list the way you give it to the girl. That's the way I have to fill them. I said, you mean you can't deviate from that list? And he says, no. And I thought, wow. I can't believe this. You know, if I'm running a propane company and you come to me and you want propane, I don't care what order we get. We'll fill them boogers up. You know, all I'm looking for is to sell propane to you. But anyway, we went through all these locations and filled them all up and everything. And it took till 3 o'clock that afternoon to go to all these locations and to check everything they had to check and to put the propane in. And I thought, wow, you know, it's amazing. I says, all these rules, I said, all the things you have to do and everything else, I'm beginning to understand why the American businessman can't make a living. You know, because of all the rules somebody has made. You know, and I got a feeling these guys are all up there in Washington, D.C. You know, some of them may be down here in the legislature in Texas, but, you know, it seems like every time we get a new class of graduates, and they get old enough to get into the government, they got to make a name for themselves, so they got to have new rules. The rules. Unbelievable. Anybody remember when they started out having a safety inspection for your car when it cost a dollar? And then it went to $4. You don't remember that, do you? You know, well, I was working for the Chevrolet house back in those days and doing all those things. And so it's amazing how they've changed and what they do and what they inspect. And of course, you know, that they're changing all that again. You know, you're doing away with your sticker on the windshield. You don't have to have one no more. You know, but anyway, it's somebody makes new rules all the time. So I don't know how long the Lord's going to let all this crazy stuff go, but it's going more and more and more all the time. So anyway, if I had went to the funeral, I would have missed the propane man. If I'd have missed him, then he probably couldn't have come next week, so it would have been later on. So I don't know. Of course, in here in the kitchen, I've got two tanks outside the building out here. One of them's hooked up, one of the stoves in the kitchen is hooked up to natural gas, and one's hooked up to propane. So if anything crazy ever happens, you know, and the natural gas were to get shut off, which it could, you know, we could have a problem like they had, I think it was in Houston or wherever it was, that a it was here in Dallas, wasn't it? The two or three houses blowed up this last week because of a natural gas leak. Some of you may have seen that. I don't know, but it tore up some houses pretty good. And Waxahachie, is that where that was? Well, see, if that happens and you only have natural gas, then until they get all that fixed, you're out of natural gas. You're out of cooking. So all I got to do is just go in there and put it in another stove and turn it on. So see, I got one stove in there propane, one stove natural gas. So I'm going to be able to stay warm or cook me a meal, you know, regardless of what happens, unless everything goes crazy. I don't know what is going to happen, but, you know, also today is the last day of the fourth blood moon. You know, today is it. There'll be an eclipse tonight. I don't think, if I understand right, that we'll be able to see the blood moon tonight here, from what I understand, But we will be able to see the eclipse. You know, the eclipse will happen. And now the blood moon in Israel, they will be able to see not only the blood moon, but the super blood moon, as well as this is we're in the entry or the beginning of a Jubilee right now, the time when all debts are going to be canceled and everything for as God's concerned. So he hasn't done that, although he has done some of that. Some of you know that the stock market had 1,032 crash in 1 week. The next Monday morning, it went down another 1,000 in the first hour. And so I don't know what God's doing here, but I know he's doing some things. And all I know is those are things he's already done. And how he's going to pay off debts and cancel things and do all kinds of stuff, I don't know. But he knows what he's doing. He's in charge. And I'm glad that I'm not under the world's economy, that I'm under God's economy. Because that way I know that he's going to bless us. So anyway, this wonderful Spirit of God that we serve and what he's going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about him today in 1 Corinthians 12, start with verse 1, and let's talk a little bit about these wonderful gifts that God gives us, and we'll talk about how these gifts work, and let's use the NLT, I mean the King James. Let's use the King James, and let's start at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Because if you don't know these things are available, a lot of times, I didn't. I was raised up in a Baptist church, and I spent the first half of my life, probably at least 35 years, in a Baptist church. And it's amazing that being in the Baptist church all those years, being a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and everything, that I had absolutely no knowledge of these spiritual gifts. I didn't know they were for today. I didn't know they worked. But Paul is trying to tell us here, now concerning these spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, I was ignorant. I mean, I was very ignorant. You know that we were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 3 and 4. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Spirit. You know, when I learned this, that no man can curse God if he's led by the Spirit. So when you see people that are cursing, you know, that are taking God's name in vain, and all these things, they don't know God. They do not know him. You know, they'll tell you they do, but they really do not. They don't have a clue, because if you are really a spirit-filled, spirit-led son or daughter of God, you will not curse the name of your Lord. You won't do it. You just won't do those kind of things. And so it's amazing. And then it says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I remember one time, in fact, I've told this story in here a few times, but there's some of you here today that was in church on that Sunday over in Dallas, when all of a sudden I'm getting ready to start the service, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Son, several of my people here are in pain. I want you to call them up, and I want you to pray for them, and as you pray for them, I'm going to heal each one of them." Now, if you're a pastor and you're being led by the Spirit of God, and you hear this thought, it's come into your mind just like that, what do? You do it. That's exactly what you do. You don't say, "Okay, God, what am I supposed to do?" He told you what to do. So now then, all you got to do is know your master. And so I said, "Okay." I said, "The Lord just spoke to me, and he says that there's some of you here." Now, we had a group about like this, and I said, "I don't know how many's here, but I was just guessing in my own. I probably thought there'd be 2 or 3 or 4. You know, I didn't think there'd be very many. But I said, if you got pain in your body today, the Lord just spoke to me and told me there's some of his people here that have pain, and whether it be a headache or an arm ache or a backache or whatever it is, I said, I want you to come up here. Just come down over here down the aisle and come up here to the platform. And as you step up on the platform, I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus, and the master is going to heal you." And so I said, anybody have pain, come up down the aisle. Well, I was amazed that about a fourth of the congregation, that probably 25 or 30 people just got up and started getting in line. I thought, wow, that's going to be all of us, you know. So, but it wasn't. Of course, I remember my wife. She wasn't my wife then, but she's there saying, oh, my goodness, the Lord's fixing to do something. She said, have I got a pain anywhere, Lord? If he does, I'm going up there. But she couldn't find a single place, so she had no reason to come. But there was a lot of people that day that had pain, you know, that that wanted to be set free. So they just came down. And, of course, the Lord had never done this. Now, these spirits, now see, this is what happens when you're led by the Spirit of God. You know, these spirits, if you know them, you know that the Holy Spirit's there. You know he's leading you. You know he's your God and your Lord. And so whenever he tells you to do something, you just do it. And so as the people begin to come down, I got them up here and I started let them step up on the platform. And I said, now, I don't really know what to do. I've never done this before. So I said, I just want you to just kind of go limp and let your arms hang down to your side. And I want you just to close your eyes. And I want you to just begin to say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Just thank you, Lord, for healing me. And so I would touch them on the arm and say, be healed in Jesus' name. I said, now, as soon as your pain goes away, I want you to open your eyes and say, thank you, Lord, and go back to your seat. Well, the first two or three or four, it seemed like it took 2 or 3 minutes, you know, but time's going by so quick, you know, that you just don't understand. But these people were sitting there, and I'd put my hands on them, and I'd say, the Lord said to me to lay hands on you, and he'll heal you. So I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Now then, you know, as a Baptist, I wasn't taught I could do this. You know, but the Word of God, it clearly says we can do this. And so I was laying hands on the people, and all of a sudden, somebody would say, oh, wow, my pain just left. And wow, I said, I'm healed, Thurman. Thank you, Jesus. And so they'd open their eyes, they'd walk down, and they'd go back here and sit down. And I'd follow along. I'd say, are you sure your pain's all gone? You're okay? Yeah, it's all gone. I have no pain. I said, good, good, good. So I come back up here, and I said, let me get another one. So I get another one up there, and I said, same thing. I said, I don't know what to do. So just hold your hands down by your side and start saying, Lord, thank you for taking away my pain. Thank you, Lord, for taking away my pain. And I'll lay my hands on you and say, pain, I command you to go away in Jesus' name. And I said, when the pain goes, just praise him and go sit down. We started doing this. We get about to the fourth or fifth lady. When she comes up there, she says, I've got terrible pain in my back. I said, okay. I said, just hang your head there and put your hands down by your side and start praising the Lord Jesus. So she didn't say anything. And I started saying, I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I said, ma'am, say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And she couldn't, thank you, G. I said, ma'am, just say, thank you, Jesus. She said, I can't say it. Now, what did the scripture say? If the Holy Spirit's not there, you can't praise Jesus if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And so I said, okay, I know what it is. As I'm thinking about the scriptures, I just stopped her a minute and I said, turn around and look at me. She turned around and looked at me. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command that spirit of unbelief and doubt to come out of you right this minute and go to the abyss and never come back in Jesus' name. I said, now, ma'am, say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. She said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. She was sitting right there. She got come into the kingdom. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she got her back healed. Then I just touched her after that, after she confessed Jesus as Lord. I laid my hands on her body and said, now, in Jesus' name, be healed. And I said, say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. She said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And the pain left just like that. She said, I'm healed. And I thought, wow, this one got saved and healed all at the same time. And so she walked out, and I took another one and another one and another one, and we started at 2:00. And when I got the last one through, I thought, wow, okay, is there anybody else? No, that's all of them. Everybody was there. I thought, now we'll have the service. I looked, and it was 4:30. We already had 2.5 hours of service, and Jesus was healing people. Let me ask you a question. Were you there that day that happened? There's one, two. Anybody else? Oh, back here. Oh, you saw that happen, right? Jesus, did you get healed that day?
Yes.
You got healed that day too. Okay, so isn't it wonderful the things that our Lord does? And you're still healed, right? Isn't that wonderful? Now, how did all this happen? By the Spirit of the living God. Now, this God, this Spirit of God, He wants to save people. He wants to heal people. He wants to deliver people. But He's going to do it through you and me. You know, He has to have a human being on this earth, just like that one little lady that could not say Jesus. She could not say that until I took authority over that spirit that was blinding her mind and kicked it out. Then she could easily accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Of course, that goes right along with Scripture, where the Scripture says if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost by the God, because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. Is that true? Yes, that's what it says. So if we have been given that power and authority over those spirits, and all authority, it, Scripture says, that means we have the authority to kick out a spirit. In fact, I've seen it in young people and old people. And I guess the most awesome demonstration of that, the spirit I've ever seen, was when I went to a church down here in Irving one day. And I heard that there was going to be a man there talking about demons. And so I was a Baptist and I knew nothing about demons. So I thought, well, I'm going to go. And so I drove down there that Saturday morning, and this man was teaching, and he'd been teaching for 2 or 3 hours. And I'm listening and enjoying, taking notes and everything. And all of a sudden, a guy gets up out of the seat and starts running down, right down the aisle. And it was two big aisles in a church, a pretty good sized church. And this guy's screaming. And as he's screaming, "I'm going to kill you." Now, I never had heard anything like that in a Baptist church, I'll tell you for sure. So I was kind of on pins and needles. I didn't know what was going on. But this pastor wasn't the least bit excited. He was just standing up there. And here comes this guy just running down the aisle, just running. I mean, and he got about as far from here to where our camera is back there. And all of a sudden, that guy just said, "In the name of Jesus, I command an angel to put you on your face now." And that guy just went over on his face. His head hit the floor. His hands went straight up behind him like that. He looked like somebody was sitting there holding both his hands up behind. And he's flat on that floor, and he can't do nothing. And that guy walked up to him and said, "Now then, what are you going to do?" He couldn't do nothing. So he said, "Now then, you said this, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never seen a demonstration of the Spirit's power like this," he said, "this is the spirit of hell that's in this man. This spirit of hell is what's wanting to kill me. It's not the man, but it's the spirit that's in him, and he got into him because of sin." So he said, "Now then, I'm going to remit the sins of the man. I'm going to break the curse over him, and I'm going to command that spirit, how many of them there are, to all come out of him and leave him and never come back in Jesus' name." And he did that. And when he did, the guy just went limp, and he's turned over and rolled over. He reached down and took him by the hand and says, "Get up, brother, and let me hear you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And I got to watch that man accept Jesus right there as his Lord and Savior. And then it's wanting to kill this guy. He's hugging him. And I'm thinking, wow, we really do have all dominion and all the power and all authority, just like Jesus told us. But you know, most of us were like I was that day. I'd never seen this. And I had no idea of this Spirit of God that we're talking about, how powerful He is, and that the power that was in me and what I could do by speaking in the name of Jesus. But boy, when you learn the power, just like this young lady over here, those three Christians prayed over her and she was dead. And the Lord raised her from the dead and then saved her. And now then, praise God, because of what happened, her and her husband are going to go to heaven instead of going to hell. And who knows how many years she's going to live, right? Isn't God awesome? But just think, you got to find some Christians that know who they are. That's the problem. We got to learn who we are. And in this time of history that we're living right now, it's in a very exciting time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know that there's a lot of things that has happened. Just like, you know, the first time, I don't even know how many years it's been since a Pope has been to the United States of America. But we had the Pope here, and there is people that drove for hours and miles to go see the Pope. and there's no telling how much money they all spent to do all that. And I got tickled when I saw John Boehner on the news. He says, when I shook hands, of course, he's a Catholic. I didn't know he was a Catholic. But he said, when I got to shake hands with the Pope, said the Pope pulled himself up real close and whispered in my ear, John, pray for me. And I thought, I'm just the Speaker of the House. Who am I? I thought to myself, John, you don't have a clue who you are. He said, but I did pray for him. I thought, well, that's a good start. God knows who he is. You know, but just think, if you know who you are as a son or a daughter of God, and you can pray in faith, like Jack said, we need hope and faith. And if we can pray in faith, there is absolutely nothing impossible with us as sons and daughters of God. I think it's time that we really begin to get excited for Jesus. I mean, do something good for Jesus and realize this wonderful Spirit that we're talking about here, this Spirit, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but they're the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Okay, let's see what they are in the next verse. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now then, I don't know if this is 100% true or not because I read it on the internet. You know, sometimes things is true on the internet, sometimes they're not. But I read an article on the internet that said that the Pope says that the Quran and the Holy Bible are the same book. I thought to myself, surely he knows better than that. You know, they are not the same book. Not by no means are they the same book. I've read both of them. I've read, of course, the Bible a whole lot more than I have the Quran, but I've read a lot of the Quran, not every page of it, but I've read enough of it to know that I don't want nothing to do with the Quran. I want to believe in Jesus, and Jesus is not in the Quran. They talk about him in there, but he's not in there. But there's differences of administration, differences of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, I will have to say that I heard this at least three times in my lifetime myself, and I did hear George Bush Jr. say that everybody's going to go to heaven. It makes no difference whether you're Muslim or Hindu, Christian. We all serve the same God. There's just a different way to get there. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. The President of the United States might have made that statement, but he's not right. I guarantee he's not right. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord... Whoops, what did I do here? Are we back on now? Okay. Okay, so, but there's no way that you're going to get to heaven unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so we're all on the same page there. When you get ready to go home, you better make sure that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, because if he's not or there's any guesswork, you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I guess what? Well, when we all get to heaven, maybe we'll find out one day, by and by. No, 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 no. You got to know here, now. You got to know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And if you do, then everything's going to work out. Next verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or for all of us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. If there's anything that I have prayed for a lot in my life, it's the Spirit of wisdom. I really believe that's why I have had the knowledge and the ability to do so many things and with design so much equipment and build things and everything else that nobody else could seem to do, for the simple reason that I prayed and asked God to give me the wisdom to do this. And he did it. I mean, in the business world, I mean, I couldn't even begin to tell you the number of times in the business world that we've had a problem that nobody could fix. I mean, maybe sometimes we spend days trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, I just stop and tell them, I said, okay, guys, I've gone all I'm going to do. I have done everything except pray. And now that I should have done that 3 days ago, but now we're going to stop and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to show us what's wrong with this. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding, Lord, how to fix this problem and what the problem is. And now, Lord, we ask you to give it to us, and we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. And bam, he speaks to me and tells me what the problem is. Just like one morning, we'd had some of the guys, good guys, working on the boilers down at the DFW airport. And they absolutely could not get those boilers back on the line. They was carrying over like I'd never seen. I got to work about 7 that morning when I walked in the VP, come in and met me, said, Thurman, you got to get down to the boiler room. Said, we're out of dry steam, and we hadn't had any steam since wee hours of the morning, 2 or 3 this morning, and said, we are dead in the water. You got to get down there and show them what's wrong with this thing. I said, okay. So I went running down there, and when I got there, I asked Dan and Neil, the two guys, the two best men I had working for me, I said, what's wrong? And they both said, we've never seen anything like this in our life. I mean, the steam, water, is they're flooding out. They're carrying over the dry steam, and it gets saturated with water, and it won't work. The waters, they go off on low water. We can't get them to just be dry steam. I watched it cycle one time. I said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. So I just, right there, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need wisdom. I need knowledge. I need understanding of what's wrong with this boiler system so I can get this thing back online. My company's down, and they need to be on the line right now. So I thank you and praise you for the answer in Jesus' name. This is clear as a bell. I heard the Lord say, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. So I told the two guys, I said, guys, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. I prayed out loud. Everybody heard me. I said, now the Lord just spoke to me. He told me what the problem is. I said, break those condensate return lines coming back. And let all that condensate run out on the floor. He said, well, what do you mean? What are you trying to tell us? I said, don't ask me no questions, guys. Just do what I tell you. You know, that's the whole thing. When God speaks to you, you don't have to wonder, does he know what he's doing? You know he knows what he's doing. You just do what he tells you to do, and I guarantee you'll always come out on the right side. Don't, if it's somebody tells you this, that's a different thing. But when God speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit, these gifts of these spirits are operating in you, when he speaks to you, you don't have to worry about him being right. He's always right. And so anyway, they broke the condensate lines, began to dump the water out. And then as they did, I told them, I said, now fill the boilers up with fresh water and turn the power back on and turn the gas on and everything and let them fire up. So they did. In just 15 or 20 minutes, we had dry steam going out, making a complete cycle. The boilers were working just like they're supposed to. I told the guys, I said, okay, guys, now you know in one of them systems out there, you got a leak somewhere. This contamination is getting back in it. I said, probably got a soap leak, some of those high-powered soaps they use. One of them's getting back into one of the condensate return lines. So I said, just isolate one at a time, take samples till you find which one's got a contamination in it, and then seal that one off. And I said, turn the others back on. And I said, we'll be back in business. So I went up to the front. And as I walk in, the VP met me. He said, Thurman, they tell me you've already got it fixed. I said, yeah, it was really quite simple. He said, but the guy's been working on it for hours. How did you know so quick? I said, Pepe. His name was Pepe. I said, Pepe, it was real simple. I just asked God, and he showed me what was wrong with it. And he looked at me and said, you did what? I said, I asked God. Now, what is wrong? What is wrong with us, ladies and gentlemen? When, what did God say that for we could ask for? In all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, right? So anytime you go to start to do anything, just like Dave was talking about there a while ago, and I might throw this in too. I hadn't said this in a week or two. How many of you have stayed dead to sin in the last few weeks? Oh, are we staying dead? Oh, did the Lord tell us we're dead to sin?
Yes.
You know why I tell you all that every week? I want you to remember it. I need to remember it. We all need to remember, I am dead to sin. I am alive to Christ, so I do not sin this week because I am dead to sin. If you don't tell yourself that regular, guess what?
The flesh will overtake you. You know that? I guarantee the flesh will get a hold of you. But when I told that guy, VP, that the Lord told me what was wrong with it, and so we did it, and he fixed it. He just couldn't believe that. He said, surely you did it some other way. I said, no. I said, I asked God. I said, I happen to be a born-again, spirit-filled son of the Most High God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And so he said, I can come and ask him for?
Anything.
That's exactly right, Miss Jackie. And if we would do that more often, we wouldn't have near the problems we have, would we? If we would just ask God and do what he says, he's given us this whole manifestation of these spirits. They're given to how many men? To every man. Every man to profit for all of us. Now, one of us will have, as we see here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So he didn't say that he will give that to every one of us all the time. But I believe with all my heart, if you're an obedient son or daughter of God, if you need that spirit of wisdom today, if you ask for it, I believe he'll give it to you. I don't believe he'll cut back anybody. I believe if you need the spirit of wisdom to get something done, and I used to pray for that every day. I mean, when I'd start to work in the morning, I'd say, Lord, now give me the wisdom to run the company today that will bring glory and honor to you, and let me do things that will be glorifying to you. And Lord, I need wisdom to do that. And so if you ask him, I believe he will never turn you down. And then he says, in verse 8, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. I think about the words of knowledge and how many times God's given me those. I can, of course, he got to where he does this a lot more through Cheryl, since Cheryl came into my life in the last 11 years. Used to, I got all the words of knowledge, but now then he gives her a lot of those. But here a while back, he doesn't always do it. Here a while back, we had a couple here, and she had breast cancer in her right breast. When she came up, I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I have breast cancer, and it's in my right breast. But she said, Pastor, I want you to know, I have listened to your teachings about what brings breast cancer, especially in the right breast, and you say it's an unforgiveness against a woman. That's not a family member. And she said, I'm telling you this time, you're wrong. And I said, well, the evidence is against you, but I may be wrong because I can make mistakes. So anyway, Cheryl started talking to her. They're standing right there. And Cheryl starts talking to the lady. And I just quietly says, Lord, I need wisdom and knowledge for this case. And immediately, when I said, thank you, Lord, for the knowledge and wisdom for this woman, immediately he said, ask her if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, oh, honey, I said, just a second. I said, the Lord just gave me a word. I said, hold it a second. I've got to ask this lady a question. I said, ma'am, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? She whirled around at me and she said, he did 15 years ago, but I forgive him. And whenever she said that, then the Spirit, he wasn't excited at all. He said, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. I said, ma'am, have you forgiven the woman he committed adultery with? And she went, I said, there's your problem. I said, you have not forgiven that woman, and that's why you got breast cancer. I said, now, is that woman that your husband committed adultery with worth you losing your breast over and all this pain and maybe dying? She says, no. I said, then I believe I would suggest strongly that you forgive her. You turn her over to the Lord. You let him take care of this. He says, I'll take care of your problems. You just turn them over to me. I will judge because I am the only one that can judge righteously. So why don't we do it God's way? Why don't we just let him do it? And don't you think that's the best way to do it? I know that's the best way to do it. And so anyway, the woman, she repented of her sin. She turned that woman over to the Lord and everything. We prayed the prayer of faith to her, and they were here the next healing school, which was a month later, and there was no cancer in her breast. She got healed. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how we hurt ourselves because we won't do what God says? You know, I don't know about you, but I want to do what he says.
He's given us this wonderful Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. And it's given to all of us. But he says here that even that another, the word of knowledge, and it's all by the same Spirit. Verse 9 and 10. To another, faith. Wow. When that gift of faith comes upon you. Now, if you're not seeking these gifts, I don't think there's much of a chance of you getting one. But if you're praying, Lord, I'm going through this list of spirits, these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I need gifts of wisdom. I need gifts of knowledge. You know, I need gifts of faith. Lord, I want to be used today for you, for your glory. I want you to drop the spirit of faith on me. I want to see something happen. Lord, I'm just get excited with him. You know, say, Lord, what can me and you do today? Lord, talk to me today. Lord, I want to be used of you for your glory. Lord, give me that gift of faith. Lord, I'm going to be just like the woman that come to the unjust judge. Lord, I'm going to keep begging you. I'm going to keep asking you in faith. Lord, I want that spirit. Now, that woman, she wore that judge out, didn't she? And finally, what did that judge say? This woman, she wears me out, but with her coming, I'm going to see that this woman gets justice. And she got it. And she got it. So I think we ought to be just like that woman. I think we ought to say, Lord, I want that gift. I want that gift of faith. I know what happens. I've had it operate in my life way, way, way many times. And I love it. Don't you love it, Scott, when the Spirit of God comes upon you? He gives you knowledge and wisdom. He gives you that gift of faith. And it's amazing. I'll tell you, one night I saw this spirit, that one and the next one, the gift of miracles. I was teaching in a little church down in Manny, Louisiana. And I'd been teaching about the gifts of the Spirit and about faith and everything for about 2 hours. And then I said, now we're going to have you come down for prayer. And there was a lady that jumped right out of her seat right there back in the very back. And she come running down to the front. And she said, I have never heard a teaching that if I have unforgiveness in my heart, God will not forgive me. She said, but I saw it. It's in the Word. So she says, I want you to know I was physically abused sexually and every other way by my dad until I got to be a grown woman, a grown girl. And she said, I have hated my dad all these years with a passion because of what he did to me as a little girl. And she said, I had no idea that's what was killing me. That's what was bringing this cancer upon me. That's what put this Parkinson's. She was shaking like this. She said, I had no idea that's what was bringing the Parkinson's upon me. And she said, I've repented and asked God to forgive me. And I've turned my daddy over to the Lord. And she said, now I want you to touch me in the name of Jesus. And I reached up and put my hand on her and said, in the name of Jesus. And that's all I got out. And that woman stopped shaking. I couldn't see the cancer went away until a month or two later when she went to a doctor for a checkup and there was absolutely no cancer in her body or anything. But when that woman, when she stopped shaking, I knew something absolutely magnificent was happening in me. I didn't know what God was doing, but those spirits were beginning to work. And I looked right over here and there was Johnny Brumfield sitting there, a guy with both legs had been crushed. He hadn't walked in 21 months. So I go running over here and I said, sir, what happened to you? He said, 21 months ago, a tree this big fell across a tractor I was driving and crushed both of my legs. He said it took him, an hour and a half or something like that to cut him out from under that tree. But he said, they care flighted me to Shreveport, Louisiana, and I spent a month in ICU, and they'd done numerous surgeries on me, and the last one, the doctor said, go home. There's nothing else we can do. You will never walk again, and you will never have control of your feet. Both feet just hung down loose. So you'll never be able to walk. And I run over there and knelt down in front of him. Now, this is done by these spirits that we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit is the one who's doing all this work. And as he just got through healing, Norma Garcia, that was that lady's name, when I run over there to Johnny and I knelt down in front of him, I said, sir, the Word of God makes us an awesome promise in John 14, 13, and 14. Now then, I want us to go to John 14, 13 and 14. I want you to see with your own eyes this promise. This promise is not just for me. This is for each one of us. But look what John 14, 13, 14, look at it. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that an awesome statement? I knelt in front of Johnny and put my hands on his legs, on his knees, and I quoted that verse, and I said, "Sir, do you believe that verse?" He said, "Sir, I am a Southern Baptist, and if it's written in that book, I believe every word written in that book." Now, is that a good place to be? So I said, "In the name of Jesus, give this man two brand new legs." I said, "Lord, thank you. It's done." I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, take off those steel braces on your legs and stand up and walk." "Now?" I said, "Absolutely." So he unstrapped the steel, threw it away, unstrapped the steel and threw it away. I said, "Now bend your legs." He reached down and grabbed his legs and pulled them up like that. And when he pulled them up under him there, under the seat, I said, "Now then, let's stand up." He looked up at me and I reached down and got him by the hand. I thought about Peter and John at the gate, beautiful, when the guy looked up and they said, "We don't have any silver or gold, but we got something better than silver and gold." That was the thing that went through my heart. When I reached down and grabbed him by the hand, I said, "Get up, Johnny, get up." And I started to pull. When I did, he said, oh, "That hurt my legs." I said, "Don't go by what you feel. Go by the word. Get up." And I jerked him up. As I jerked him up, he stood up. And I could just see the unbelief surrounding him. And I said, "Johnny," I said, take a step. And he wouldn't do nothing. So I jerked him. And he took a step. And then I said, "Come on." I jerked him again. And the third time I jerked him, we were standing headed toward the podium. I said, "You can walk. You're on your own." And he run up here and he walked around the podium three times. And then he broke, but he realized, "I am healed." He ran to the back door of the church with his hands raised, screaming, "God is awesome." He is awesome. Now, how did all that happen? By the Holy Spirit of the living God. All we got to do is pray and ask him, "Lord, come upon us, overtake us. Lord, today as we go, use us for your glory. Do something. Lord, I want to be used by the Holy Ghost." I really think he's sitting there waiting on us to do something, waiting for us to demonstrate an act of faith, to do something. You know, but so many of us, you know, we don't know very much about the Bible. In fact, last night at we went to another little church deal down here in Justin. And the pastor introduced me to a pastor friend of his in Fort Worth. And he said, "This man gets more people healed than anybody I know." And whenever that man left, the pastor from Fort Worth, he says, "You get a lot of people healed?" I said, "Man, I've seen so many people healed, I don't even remember how many people I've seen healed." "There ain't no way you could remember all these things that God has done." He said, "Let me ask you a question. Why is it?" He said, "I've heard stories about people going missionaries, they get people healed in other parts of the world." But he said, "I've never seen anybody healed here. Never." I said, "You see that woman sitting right there?" And it was Sharon. She was sitting there at the table. He said, "Yeah." I said, "That woman right there, when she came to me, she couldn't even drive her car." I said, "She had been sick for 30 years. She had brain tumors. She had back trouble. She had allergies, asthmas." I said, "I found her sin, got her to repent of her sin, prayed the prayer of faith for her, and God healed that woman right there." He looked at her and she said, "Absolutely God's truth. I got healed." She said, "That 10 or 12 years ago," and she said, "I've been completely healed ever since." So then we get up, we go across over here to have some pictures taken, and we're taking pictures, and I tap him on the shoulder. He was over there too. I said, "You see the guy taking the pictures?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's Dave Rosenfeld." I said, "That guy come to me at 40. He'd been sick all of his life. I showed him the sin that he was in. We broke the curses, prayed for him, and he got healed." He looked at Dave, and Dave said, "Sure, nice to be well." And then we walked over, and he says, I began to show him others and talk about, he said, "My gosh, is everybody here got healed through your ministry?" I said, "Well, not all of them, but there sure has been a lot of them." Is that true?
Jack, you got healed here too, didn't you? Isn't that wonderful? My lovely wife, she got healed. She had an incurable disease when I met her, you know, and I told her what caused it, and she repented of her sin. I prayed for her, touched her in the name of Jesus, and the Master healed her too. What was that name? Oh, yeah, that was way before she was married to me. She never dreamed one day she'd be married to me. You know, I got tickled one day. This is funny, as real mom say it. Cheryl come to my church all the time, and she only saw one side of Thurman Scrivener, the part that's sitting right here. That's preaching the gospel. So one day she was back there thinking, gee, I wonder what it would be like to be married to a perfect man. Yeah. So a few years later, the Lord brought her to me and found out I'm a diamond in the rough. I'm sometimes very rough. He showed her that I'm still a man, just like all of you men are. You know, there's times when you girls think your husband's the best guy in the world. 30 minutes later, you wish you had killed him. Is that true? Yes, that's the way we are, because we're human beings, unfortunately. That's just the way. But the more we let the Spirit of God lead us, the better we are. When we get away from the Spirit of God, that's when we're in trouble. But this Spirit, let's go back to where we were there in 1 Corinthians. To another faith by the same Spirit. You see, it's the same Spirit, but this time this Spirit will give you supernatural faith. And to another, the gifts of healing. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to turn that on and off anytime you wanted to? Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes God does strange things. In fact, here a while back, some of you may have been here that day that we did this. I had a woman here that day with brain tumors, been diagnosed with brain tumors. Her husband had been diagnosed with some other bad things, too. And then I knew that we had four or five or six other people in the group that had serious diseases that day. So I just told everybody, now I did not hear something special from God for this. I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. I said, let's take the chairs that we got at the end. Let's take those chairs and bring them and start them right here. Set one chair, one right here. And set them one right by the other in a line all the way to the back. Were you here that day, Miss Jackie?
I sat in a chair.
Oh, you sat in a chair. Okay. So I told the people, I said, if you have anything wrong with you, any pain, you come sit down in one of these chairs. And so they did. And we set chairs all around till everybody that had something wrong with them, which was several, 10 or 15 people at least. Oh, it was 30 that day? Okay, 30 of them. We had seats and we had people sitting in them. I said, now then, I named off about 10 or 12 men that are what I consider to be men of God, elders in this church that are older, you know, that are well established in the Word of God. And I said, now I want every one of you men to come down here. I'm going to walk by and pray over them or touch them in the name of Jesus. And I want each one of you to come by and touch those people. And is there any, you were here, did you get healed?
Yes.
Amen. Miss Jackie got healed. Was there anybody else that was here that day that got healed that day? No, we don't have. Okay, so you see there's about 30 people, 25 or 30 people that got healed that day in those chairs that just was here to obey God. If you want to get healed, where's the best place to go? To a church where God's healing power is taught. Now, I started to say just to go to church, but not all churches will get you healed because they don't have faith. And so if there's no faith there, then the Holy Spirit's not going to be doing much there. But if the Holy Spirit is there and there is faith there, then that Holy Spirit can move. And as those few men, as we walked by and touched each one of you that day, I know just a few days later, I talked to the lady that had the brain tumor. And I said, how are you? She said, I was healed right there. Said the day I was, in fact, she said, I sensed the second that Jeff touched me. She said, that's when my pain left. So see, God can use any one of us he wants to heal. But he used Jeff that day. Jeff was the one that got to touch that woman. And Jeff even knew it. When I talked to him later, Jeff said, I know that woman was healed when I touched her.
He said, I felt something. He said, I just know it happened. Well, she felt it. He felt it. And sure enough, God did it. Do we serve an awesome God?
Awesome God.
I mean, he wants to do what, honey?
Her husband had an aneurysm and a mass on his brain. And until last week, they didn't know that it completely went away.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Do we serve an awesome God?
Yes.
He can even raise the dead, can't he, young lady? he can do anything. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we need some faith. Then he says there, the gift of healing by the same Spirit and to another, the working of miracles. I love it when the gift of miracles comes upon us. Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I pray for that a lot. I ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want these gifts. Oh, yeah. Jeff, have you heard anything else from her?
I have not talked to her again since.
Yeah, but something happened.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Well, come up here, Jeff, and tell us what did happen. Come up here. I wouldn't even want to try to do justice to that since you were the one that were totally involved. Tell us what the Lord did when you prayed for this woman. I think that's all.
Thank you, Jesus. Dave had actually mentioned a lady that he had prayed for that found out that she was paralyzed. And Pastor made the comment, I think he talked about it at healing school, that you know, from time to time we say, you know, well, at least you can move your hands or you can move your feet. You know, thank the Lord that you can move your hands. Thank the Lord you can move your toes. And well, that wasn't the case for this lady. She was paralyzed. And she also had multiple sclerosis and a bunch of other things going on. And she had called before, and I had given her some declarations about the blessings of God and the favor of God, and it took her a while, and I didn't realize in the beginning. She called a couple weeks later, and I said, you know, did you look at those? Have you been declaring those? And she said, no, I haven't had a chance, and I thought, well, what's going on there? Well, it's because she wasn't able to get to her computer to do it herself. She has to wait for somebody to help her to be able to actually open the stuff up on her computer, and so, again, all of this didn't unfold. She's from another country. And so she's calling us long distance, and she's from South America. And so anyway, she had called before and prayed, and she had felt some freedom. And one time Dave talked to her, and she had some breakthrough. And so spiritually, something's going on. She had said before that she felt such oppression at night that she couldn't even speak out. She'd wake up in the middle of the night and felt this oppression. And she asked me the question, is it okay if I just think the thoughts in my head that I'm more than a conqueror, or that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, or Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law? Can I just think about it? Would that be okay? And I said, well, that, you know, that's good, but if you can speak it out. And so I began to pray. Well, this last week, I think it was Tuesday this last week, maybe Wednesday, she called again, South America. I happened to be the one that was right there. We don't call them back whenever they're calling from a foreign country like that. So I answered the call. And so she starts telling me again some of the situation, some of the breakthroughs that she's having, but she said, I remembered something you talked about in the healing school, curses that can be spoken over us by other people, or curses that can come on us. And she said, when I was 4 years old, my family took in a lady that had multiple sclerosis, and I remember being afraid that, boy, I would never want to end up like that, and the fear that was in her. Then she said when she was 18, she watched a video that Hitler, of all things, had put out, some training in school, but Hitler had used it as a propaganda video of him eliminating people that were sick and weak and of the wrong race and so on. And the particular lady in the video had multiple sclerosis. She's 18 years old. This girl in South America watches this, and she said, it shook me up. I remember it really, really impacted me. And she said, I remembered those things when I heard your message about curses that can be on our life. Do you think maybe that's the door that the enemy used? And I just knew that it was. And so I prayed. You know, again, we've prayed before, but knowing that you've got, you know, I felt like we were shot like an arrow. Instead of, you know, praying a good prayer in general, it's like, okay, Lord, you just gave direction. And so we broke off specific curses and the spirits that came in at that point in time and the fear. And there was a freedom that I felt on the phone. I could tell something happened. Well, anyway, she called back the next day and said she'd never felt such freedom in 20 years. She hasn't felt that kind of freedom before when I prayed for her on the phone. So she said, I knew something happened. Well, she had been completely paralyzed. Now she said, I can lift myself up out of my wheelchair.
Amen.
Into and out of a wheelchair.
Amen.
And so in one day's time, 24 hours, she went from being completely paralyzed to being able to lift herself in and out of a wheelchair.
Amen.
And so the Lord's working on her life. So I haven't talked to her again, but I'm sure we'll hear some more testimonies.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a living God. I'm so grateful that He's given us all these gifts and given them to Dave and Jeff and me and all the ladies that work here. We have these gifts and they're there. And I just think that we need to pray more for these spirits to come in and fill us. Because there's not anything like serving the living God. You know, praying and seeing Him move and seeing Him touch people's lives and see people get healed and delivered. And we've been very, very fortunate here at the Living Savior Ministries to see our Lord heal and deliver so many people. It's such a wonderful thing. The working of miracles. And into another, prophecy. And to another, the discerning of spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these gifts that we're talking about are gifts that can be used by you for your benefit and for the benefit of other people. But if you don't ask the Lord for these things, He won't give them to you. Actually, technically speaking, they are yours already. But if you don't know they're yours, you won't never be able to use them. But if you know that these spirits are there and that you ask the Lord, and I believe that if we really serve Him and put Him first, I believe lots of times He'll just, all we have to do is just like I prayed so many times, just like in my workplace. And here, we do that here. And when I'm with Dave, I mean, I don't know how many times we're doing whatever we're doing, whether we're working on a scripture, whether we're working on the airplane, whether we're working on a travel trailer, whatever we're doing, we're looking for a tool. Dave says, Lord, we need wisdom. We need understanding here. Show us where this is. And the Lord does. It's just amazing how that God takes all these wonderful, awesome gifts, these spirits, and He will loose those things upon us, His children, and He'll use those things for His glory. You know, one of the things about prophecy, do you realize that whenever we're reading the scripture, we are prophesying? Because we're reading the Word of God. So we are actually prophesying the Word of God right in here all this last hour or so. We have been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic things that God does. And one of those is prophecy. And one of them is just the Word of God. As we talk about these things, and He'll do it. And then to another, discerning of spirits. You know, when you learn to discern spirits, I mean, I have no idea. I couldn't even give you a estimate of the number of times I've been standing right here when somebody starts walking down that aisle and Cheryl will reach over and whisper in my ear and say, that woman has this spirit of whatever, or this man has this spirit of whatever. She knows. Now then, where do you think she got that? The Holy Spirit. That's absolutely right. The Holy Spirit talks to her and tells her what that, because if five people come walking down that aisle, there is no way you can know what's wrong with those people without the Holy Spirit telling you. You just can't do it. I mean, they're just people. So you can't do it. But if the Holy Spirit is working in you, he will do it. There's discerning of spirits and then the various kinds of tongues and to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's a gift that so many people want, but they never get it. You know, but they ask for it, but that's just like all these spirits, you know, I've heard people, especially Pentecostal people, tell you that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't even know Jesus. I've heard people say that. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. That's not true. You know, I mean, some people have the gift of tongues, just like some people have the gift of faith and some people have the gift of healing. But I don't believe anybody can make all these spiritual gifts work at the same time in your body. I don't believe that. I just don't believe you can. Now, I may be wrong. I believe that God loses these in your body one by one to use you for His glory to do certain things. Now, there may be times you may see two or three of them manifest. You know, He may give you a word of knowledge. He may give you a word of wisdom. And then He may give you the gift of healing to pray for somebody that totally does not know Him, that has no faith whatsoever. And He may kick in the gift of faith and you touch people. And I have done this many times in my life. I've had people to tell me when I walk up to them and say, I'm going to pray for you. And they say, don't pray for me. I don't want it. And then I just say, well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. And then I just reach over and lay my hands on them. And Cheryl has seen this. We've been all kinds of places, in elevators, in, you know, I mean, on the street, all kinds of stuff. And somebody, I just say, I'm going to pray for you. No, don't touch me. And I just reach over and touch them, say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And bam. I've seen people with migraine headaches, and I've seen people with all kinds of things, and Cheryl has too. You know, she's done this. She's prayed for people in Walmart and checkout stands and everything else. You know, where will these gifts manifest? Wherever you are. You know, if you want God to use you, all you got to do is be available. And that's a beautiful thing. Like when, here a while back, some of you heard that story that when this woman in Walmart checkout lady, I mean, whenever she was all crying and everything, and Cheryl asked her what was wrong, she said, my son, he won't go to church. He's lost. He's, I forget what all was wrong with him. He's on heroin. Yeah, he was on heroin and everything else. And Cheryl said, well, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? She said, yes. Cheryl said, well, we have power and authority over those devils, so let's just go to the throne of grace and let's kick them devils out and let's ask the Holy Spirit to move on that boy and get him filled with the Holy Ghost and get him born again. And right there in Walmart, you know, out loud, with her hands raised at the checkout counter, kicking out demons. You don't see that very many places, do you? But she did all the things she knew to do. 2 or 3 months later, her daughter was back over there, and that woman told her, Christy said, you got to tell your mother what happened. Said, after your mother prayed, my son got delivered of heroin. He got saved. He's going to church, and he's playing drums in a cowboy church. Said, he's totally a different boy. What happens when we have the Holy Spirit? Anything. There's not anything impossible. If you got the Holy Spirit, you can pray and the Holy Spirit will take control. All you got to do is say, Lord, here am I. You take control of my tongue and whatever needs to come out of my mouth, you make it come out. And He'll do great things, won't He, Miss Jackie? I mean, He's a mighty God. Wow. Are we glad we know Jesus? I'm glad I know Jesus. Wow. He is an awesome God. Wow. Okay, let's see the next verse. What do we got next? But all these worketh, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So when I look at you, who am I literally looking at as I look over here? I'm looking at Christ. That's exactly right. When you're in a church, when you're looking anywhere out there in the world, all the believers that are out there, what you're doing as you look, you are seeing Jesus walk over this planet, raising the dead, saving the lost. Are we glad He's at work? No, we are awful glad that He is at work. How many of you would like to be a part of His work? I do. I'm going to raise both hands because I want to be used of the Lord for His glory. I love to touch people in the name of Jesus. I love to have testimonies, don't you, Jack? Amen. I love to have testimonies, don't you, Peggy? Amen. You love testimonies too. Peggy don't want that little girl to stay here and take care of the goats. She wants that girl to go to heaven with her. Well, that should be our desire for all of us, right? I mean, you don't have to worry. There'll be plenty left to take care of those goats. God, if not, God will take care of the goats, won't He, Peggy? Wow. Okay. Yeah. As we pray this prayer, every one of you that want God to give you these, at least one or all of these gifts, I want you to ask Him as we're praying, Lord, give me these gifts or all of these gifts. But I want you to voice yourself as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for these gifts. There's 9 of them, Lord. And I'm going to be a pig about this. I want them all. I want all of the gifts of the Spirit. I want them all to operate in me. And I really believe that most of the people in this room would like to have them all too. So, Lord, if there's any difference in my confession and their confession, then use their confession for themselves. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to be filled with all of the Holy Ghost. I want to be used with you for all these gifts. I want to have the gift of faith and healing and miracles and everything, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, everything, Lord. I want all of them, and I want to be used mightily to do great things for your kingdom. And then, Lord, I ask you to direct our paths this week as we go. I ask you to open the scriptures to us as we study this week. I ask you to bring us back to church next Sunday full of the Holy Ghost with more testimonies about people we've led to Christ, people we got delivered, people we got healed. Lord, let us have more and more and more. Lord, we want to turn the Holy Spirit loose in this church, and we want Him to be operating in our lives so that this body of Christ that we're here, that we represent you, you will be able to take us and use us for your glory, and you will be glorified, and great and mighty things will happen this week because we're asking you to fill us with the Holy Spirit, use us for your glory. And Father, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, everybody that's here today that needs to be healed or whatever, as they come forward, we pray for them. I ask you to heal every one of them and meet every need they have. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.